I'm not afraid. हरिनाम संकीर्तन के शिशिवाद श्याम सुंदर के जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रमान के श्री गौर का परम्पार के इसका गुरु वृंद के मां वेद भक्ता वृंद के नित्य गौर और ग्लोरी टू असेंबली बॉडी और ग्लोरी टू असेंबली बॉडी और ग्लोरी टू असेंबली बॉडी और ग्लोरी सो और ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु श्री गौर
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So you all welcome to today's Sunday program.
Thank you very much.
So for a few Sundays we have been absent. So for our yearly Ratayatra Festival. This year happens to be in Ghana, Accra. And also mix up with other programs. BBT Conference. The All African BBT Conference. For printing of Srila Prabhupada's books. We had a conference about that. It happened to be in Accra, also Ghana. So we have been there participating in all these programs. Ratayatra Festival, meeting all devotees from different parts of the world, Australia, America. It was wonderful. But we are very happy to be here with you again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So today we are going to read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, number 8, Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana means meditation. That is the literary meaning of Dhyana. Dhyana means meditation. So this chapter is talking about meditation. And when you have to talk about meditation, means so much about the mind. If you don't have your mind under control, you cannot meditate. So we are going to talk more about how we perceive things in this world based on our mind today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapetanyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamanam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatam Tam Visabjivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padasagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitarscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kantarada Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutere Vipranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitana Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivatsadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
To the extent you have load in your hand, you will not be able to raise the hand. So you have to drop the load, then you can be able to raise up your hand. It's a subtle load. It's a subtle load. You cannot see it. But that is the reality. Because very few people in this world operate on a full conscious inner mind. Most of the thing we do is subconsciously. And people who are very sensitive, they can read the subconscious mind. Not just what you are doing, but what is behind your consciousness while you are doing it. It's a moving force, but it's very subtle. It's explain at the background. So when we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, just give your mind, give everything, loudly call the names, free your mind, free everything, release yourself for the Lord, and chant this very loudly, and you will get a very great effect. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So today is written on the board. You can recite as I pronounce. Gyanam,
Gyanam,
Vigyanam,
Vigyanam,
Tritatma,
Tritatma,
Kutta,
Kutta,
Sto,
Sto,
Vijitendriya,
Vijitendriya,
Yukta,
Yukta,
Iti,
Iti,
Uchate,
Uchate,
Yogi,
Yogi,
Samadushrasma,
Samadushrasma,
Kanchana,
Kanchana,
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Uttasto Vijitendriya
Uttasto Vijitendriya
Utta Iti Ucchate
Yogi Utta Iti Ucchate Yogi
Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Uttasto Vijitendriya
Uttasto Vijitendriya
Utta iti ucchate yogi
Utta iti ucchate yogi
Samaloshtrasma kanchana
Samaloshtrasma kanchana
Vijnana vijnana triptatma
Vijnana vijnana triptatma
Uttasto vijitendriya
Uttasto vijitendriya
Utta iti ucchate yogi
Utta iti ucchate yogi
Samaloshtrasma Trashma Karchana
Samanu Trashma Karchana
Please chant
Jana
Vijatma
Jana
Samanushra
Makanchana
Yukta iti ucchate yogi
Samanushra Makanchana
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma Kutasto Vijitendriya Yukta iti ucchate yogi Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Kutasto Vijitendriya
Kutasto Vijitendriya
Yukta iti ucchate yogi
Yukta iti ucchate yogi
Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Uttasto Vijitendriya
Yukta iti ucchate yogi Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Matajis
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma
Uttasto
Vijitendriya
Yukta iti ucchate yogi
Samaloshtrasma Kanchana Samaloshtrasma Kanchana
Jnana,
Jnana
by acquired knowledge.
By acquired knowledge.
Vijnana,
Vijnana
unrealized knowledge.
Unrealized knowledge.
Tripta,
Tripta
satisfied.
Satisfied.
Atma,
Atma
a living entity.
A living entity.
Buddhasta,
Buddhasta
spiritually situated.
Spiritually situated.
Vijita Indriya,
Vijita Indriya
sensually controlled.
Sensually controlled.
Yukta,
Yukta
competent for self-realization.
Competent for self-realization.
Iti
thus.
Uchate.
Uchate.
It said.
Yogi.
A mystic.
Sama.
Sama.
Ikupos.
Lushtra.
Lushtra.
Tebus.
Ashma.
Stone. Kachana.
Kachana.
Gold.
Gold.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by a factual of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it is pebbles, stones or gold, as the same. Please repeat. A person is said to be established
in
self-realization
and
is called a yogi
or
mystic
when
he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge
and
realization.
Such
a person is situated in transcendence
and
is self-controlled.
He
sees everything, whether it be pebbles,
stones,
or gold,
as
same.
Yeah.
It's a very high level of consciousness to see a stone and a gold as the same. How many of us can see that? So we are going to explain how to gradually come to that platform. That is the goal. That is the goal. So we have to aim at that. So purport. Srila Prabhupada explained, book knowledge without realization of the supreme, without the realization of the supreme truth is useless. This is stated as follows. Atashi Krishna Namadi Namabhe Grayam Indriya Sevamokehi Jivado Soyam Vivasparatiyada. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord. Are the transcendental name, form, quality and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-234. This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna. Because he is satisfied with pure devotional service, by realized knowledge one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he is surrendered to the Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this is a very interesting verse. And the verse before this, Krishna explained also, Jitatmana prashantasya paramatmana samahita chitosna sukadukeshu tatamanapanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. He has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Then it continues. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this is a very high level of Krishna consciousness. So like I said earlier on, Dhyana Yoga means meditational yoga. So that these are the process These are the processes for attaining fix in meditation. So the mind is the eyes we use to see this world. Our mind is what we use seeing to see this world. Based on how we perceive things in this world, we determine how we relate with things, how we live our life, how we understand things. So there's one very nice example. And give example of transforming negative to positive. This world, there is always duality, just like it's mentioned in this Bhagavad Gita. Or
bad.
Honor or
destroy.
Eat or poor. Happiness or
distress.
It's always in twos. So this world is called the world of duality. So we are all perceiving this thing through our mind. If we want to live peacefully in this world, we must learn this secret. How to use our mind to change how we perceive things. Not reacting, but responding to those things. Like this, there are three ways on which we can explain transformation of negativity. And explain the first way is like a sponge. Something people do to us. There are two ways we can explain them. How we relate with people in this way. Negativity to positivity. One is sponge, like a sponge. You know sponge, the foam we use for washing things. One is like a sponge. Whatever negativity you are perceiving in this world, they do what? They store into you. You store them just like a sponge and absorb liquid and they stay there. So you absorb all these negativities and you don't have anything to do with them. You become very heavy and weighed down. There is another way of reflecting these negativities, like a mirror. That is the second way. Like a mirror. Whatever is being sent to you, whatever you are perceiving, you reflect the same thing, even double. Another way of transforming negativity to positivity. Whatever is being sent to you, you reflect them back, even sometimes double. Just like you see your image directly in the mirror. Then the third way is like a crystal. Crystal is an object, when a ray of light is, you know, directed towards a crystal, it reflected a rainbow color. Are you getting the point? So in this way, whatever negativity we are getting in this world, we can absorb them and become very heavy and don't know what we can do with them. In this way, we perceive everything in this world as
negative,
bad, frustrating, disturbing, whatever name you may call them. Or we may receive all this negativity in another way and we react. We want to react to them. We want to show that, yes, I can show more negative nature. I have more energy, more negative to show. Or, while receiving this negativity, we can transform them into wonderful. Or you can absorb them and transform it into positive nature. It's not very easy. It will take a long time of practice, or some time, if you are sincere, short time of practice, of spiritual practice. Because this is only what we need to elevate ourselves from this world, or to liberate ourselves from this world. If you are unable to transform the energies in this world, you cannot be liberated. You cannot go out of this material tabernacle. It's not possible. Because these energies, they are the energies of God. You must be very expert in transforming the energy. If you look into whatever is going on in the creation, they are all transformation of energies. So we must learn how to transform this negative energy into positive energy. If you are unable to transform this negative energy into positive energy, my brother and sister, you cannot see good thing, and you cannot make your way back to God in this world. There will be always so much things to grab you down in this world. There's a very nice story in this connection. We was sitting in a restaurant. So, what happened? This is just to show how people can react to what happens. So in the restaurant, there were some ladies who were sitting on the table, and a cockroach flew into the restaurant and perched on one of the ladies. What happened? This lady, he jumped up and started panicking, you know, in a panic-stricken, you know, trembling voice. He was shouting. She was panicking. And this nature was contagious, that all the other ladies around also, they were like,
shivering.
You understand? So what happened? This cockroach jumped from this one lady and jumped to the other one. And that one also flew, started jumping. So meanwhile, the waiter was watching all this histrionic activity. So he was watching what was going on. So what happened? Immediately the waiter watched what we were doing and how everybody was panicking. He came into the picture. And immediately as he came there, the cockroach flew and jumped on the waiter cloth. So he watched, he stood very, you know, firm and courageous. And he watched the movement of the cockroach. And after this, seeing the movement of cockroach, he picked the cockroach and did what? And threw it out of the restaurant. So what can we learn from this story? What we can learn from this story is that what happened to us in life is not the problem. The problem is how we react to things that happen to us in life. The same cockroach and the body of the ladies, the same cockroach and the body of the waiter. Their reaction. They reacted. Put this one off. Ah, my Guru Maharaj. Sorry. It's a Guru after us. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Yes, Guru Dev. No Guru Maharaj. No, he's in Canada now. Guru Maharaj is in Canada. Hey, Guru Maharaj. We will try to arrange that. We will arrange it, Guru Maharaj. We will arrange it, Guru Maharaj, from the temple. Okay, Guru Maharaj, we'll do that. Okay, Guru Maharaj, we'll do that. Do that, Guru Maharaj. We're in the middle of class now, in the Sunday class, so we'll do that later. I will ask the devotee to do it. Sarva Guru Maharaj. Yeah, we'll go and pay tomorrow at the bank. Do that, Guru Maharaj, no problem. And Guru Maharaj, yes, Guru Maharaj, we can get the temple, we'll pay for it, then when you come back. Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj. Okay, Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Yes, Guru Maharaj. Yes, Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. That's my Guru Maharaj. I cannot reject it. So as we're saying, based on how we react to situation is what matters. You know, the cockroach, you know, landed on the ladies. See how they reacted to the situation. The same cockroach on the body of a waiter, and see how he reacted to it. So it's not the shouting of your boss, or the shouting of your father, the shouting of your wife, or your husband, that is the problem. The problem is your inability face the situation, the tolerable, the situation that the shouting has caused. Get to my point. The shout, somebody, your boss shouting at you, is not the problem. Your wife shouting at you, is not the problem. Your husband shouting at you. I'm now trying to bring it to a practical, the way we can, you know, really see it. Your boss, your boss shouting at you, your husband shouting at you, your wife shouting at you, is not the problem. The problem is you are unable to tolerate the troubles that that shouting has caused in you. You are unable to handle that. That is the problem.
Just like the cockroach, you know, landing perched on the body of the ladies,
they are unable to, you know, they react immediately. Just for example, I'll give you another example. The village boys, if they come to the city now, if they see snake, they will, they know where to grab the snake. Are you getting a point? They know where to grab the snake. They will not be afraid. You throw snake inside the middle of a city boys. What will happen? Everybody will, I'm talking about snake. Let rat run inside here now. What will happen? Everybody will jump and touch. You know? So what is the problem? Is the rat the problem?
No.
What is the problem?
The reaction.
What is the problem? So that is the same thing we have to apply to life. The problem is not what we are facing in life, but in our inability to face the challenge. That is the problem. So that is why we are saying, now this verse is mentioning that in the eyes of a mystic or a transcendentalist, a gold and a pebble is the same. How? Why? Because why? He has trained his mind to come to a certain level of consciousness that for him, everything is the same. It's the training he has given to the mind. Just like if a rat run inside here now, a village boy will not run. He will just be watching the rat and be waiting to grab the rat. I get that right. He will just be watching the rat. I mean, as he ran inside, he'll be watching the rat and be looking for how to grab it from the tail and do what? Why, if you run the city boy, everybody will, in pandemonium, everybody will jump in here and there. So, that is the same thing, the same situation we are facing in life. The problem is not the problems we are facing in life, it's not the challenges that is coming, but how do we relate with them? Most important. And that is why this Krishna consciousness is to train us how to see things properly in life, to be able to correct our vision on how we see things. Because our mind, just like, for example, if somebody is wearing green glass, we will see what will you be seeing?
Green.
Yes. If you are wearing black, you'll be seeing black. So Krishna consciousness is to train us to remove all these dirty things that is making us to see things in an inappropriate way. This process is the purification of our minds. Unless our mind is purified, my brother and sister, we will not be able to see things and do things in a proper way. That is why we are always emphasizing on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Teto Dapana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadava Grenadivapanam, Shriya Kai Vachandika Vitaram Vidyam Vajudivanam, Ananda Bodhi Varanam, Puna Prita. Finish it. Param Vijayate. So this Chetudharpana Marjana, the cleansing of the mirror of our heart, is very, very important. Unless we take it very serious, we will always be lamenting in our life. You will never have enough in your life. You will always be crying. Whatever you have in life will never be enough for you.
Unless you change your perception, how you see life. Unless you change your conception, you will never have enough. If you like, you have the whole money in this universe. You will never be happy. We have to understand that we are not the controller. We are not the controller. Krishna is the supreme. He's the supreme controller. Why we react to situation is because we think that out of force ego, we are taken away by material nature. Before we were thinking we are the supreme controller. So when nature takes us unaware, we lose our balance. You lose balance. That's why you see big men who become frustrated. He may be thinking that he's the controller before, because everything was going on his own. But when nature take him up, he's like, wow, I was thinking I'm the controller. What is going on? You lose your balance. You become bewildered. Even the whole billions of naira you have no meaning to you again. So that is very, very important that we should understand that as a member, one who is coming to this part of devotional service, to this Krishna consciousness, we should take chanting of Hare Krishna very seriously. We should take chanting of Hare Krishna very
seriously.
Very seriously. Because unless we purify the mirror of our heart, my brother and sister, you will never attain peace of mind in this world. You will be sitting in the wrong way. Situation coming to you, you will not be able to handle them. Anybody who is undergoing purificatory process, when difficulties come to him, he handles it in a different way. Lord Brahma mentions in Bhagavatam Canto 10, one of the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna. He said, "My Lord, I offer prayers to you. Even though now I'm undergoing so much tribulation, difficulties, but this is due to all my past misdeeds. Please, my Lord, with all my heart, with all my words, with all my mind, I offer my respect to you. Because why? You have made the suffering so minimal. I would have gotten bigger than this. But because by your mercy, you have minimized my suffering. I thank you, my Lord." So a sincere servant of God, a genuine devotee, will see things like this. Whatever is happening to you in life, you thank God. Because why? You know that God is in control. Whatever situation is happening, you thank God. And Lord Brahma said, he says, one who is in this kind of consciousness, what happened? Kingdom of God becomes his
inheritance.
His rightful claim. Kingdom of God becomes qualified to go to the kingdom of God. If you can face life like this. My brothers and sisters, don't think that there will be one day in this world that there will not be problem again. Everybody is facing their own problems in different
ways.
There will not be time, there will not be problem. Because why? Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mamu Petya Punar Jama, Dukalayam, Ashashwatam. The creator of this universe, he said, this is how I have created this place. He said, it's temporary and full of miseries. It's temporary. This place is a temporary place. You cannot stay for long. And it's full of miseries. So if one really understands this, we see things properly. We begin to see things properly. Asukam and Nityam Lokam. This is the nature of this material world. So what I'm saying in essence is that this verse we are studying today is saying that a self-realized yogi can see a goal and a pebble as the same.
Because why? He has a purified mind. His mind has become purified. That is the duty we owe to our mind. We have to purify our mind. Because unless our mind is purified, it will always lead us to do the wrong
things.
Always lead us to do the wrong thing. Krishna also mentioned in this chapter, the same chapter. You see, the mind is a friend of the living entity, and he said, your mind can be your friend and your worst enemy. Mind is very, very powerful. If you know the power of the mind, you will do like this. If you know the power of your mind, it is being carried out. Analysis have been made that general human being, average human being, they don't use up to 10% of their brain, which is the house of the mind. Brain is the house of the mind. Are you getting my point? They don't use 10% of it. Those who use like 10% of it, we have 100%, you understand me? Those who use like 10% of it, you consider them to be genius. Wow! How is he making this? Like all these people making phones and all these things. It's like, wow, how possible? Because they are able to use 10% of their brain. Can you imagine somebody using 50%? It's out of this world. You understand? So the same thing, that is the power of your mind. And that is why a yogi who have purified the mind and control the mind and the senses, he can sit down here and do like this and bring out gold
from another planet,
from whatever prayer said. He can stretch his hand like this and bring out gold from another planet by the power of his mind.
Yes.
He can walk on top of water. If Christians are saying that the wonder of Jesus is that he walk on the water, go to Himalayas. Go to Himalayas in India. You will see yogi walking on top of water. Not only walking on top of water, sir. You will put them, you bury them inside soil, cover them. Count how many days you want to count. You come and remove the soil. You will see them alive. If that is a miracle, that the thing that Jesus could have done. There's so many yogi in the Himalayas, in India. You can go. This one is not like you are telling lies on somebody who has. You understand? If you have the money to ticket, you have tickets. If you collect visa, go to India, go to Himalayas. You will see what they call mystic power. People who have controlled their mind, conquered their mind. The same principle we are giving you. That your mind can destroy you and your mind can
make you.
You have to try to control your mind so that it will not destroy you. It's very simple. If you don't control your mind, it will destroy you. Because why? Your mind will continue to lead you to do something that is wrong and will definitely destroy you. So that is why if you learn to control your mind, it will help you. And you can control. You see people who are controlling like millions and thousands of people, you know the power they are using? It's the power of their mind.
Yes.
They have attained a particular level that they can influence people. Just say something, people will start following them. That is the power you have also. But you have to uncover this power. How to do this? It's not so much. You don't need to break your head in the beginning. If everything great, big, starts small. Every day of your life, spend 30 minutes, 1 hour, sit down and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Try it every day. Spend 30 minutes, 1 hour of your time in the morning. Try to meditate. Try to control the mind. Immediately you start doing this, you see your mind going here and there. See now, if you don't do this, you will not know how much your mind is destroying you. It looks normal. Immediately you carry the Maha Mantra, you sit down to chant. my God, you will see the level of the disturbance or distractions of the mind. You will, sometimes people feel uncomfortable that they have to drop the chanting. Yes, this is realization. The mind is disturbing to the extent that you will just say, you will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The mind is disturbing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, I feel okay when I'm not chanting Hare. But that is the problem. The problem is that the mind has become so contaminated that it will not allow you to purify it. It's like if your house is very dirty and you are sweeping and the dust is coming and you are so disturbed and you are shaken up. I say, no, oh, this place is too dirty. Let me run out. Leave it there. What will happen?
You come back and it's
dirty. Death will settle down again. This is what's going on. Because our mind has been contaminated for years and millions of births. We cannot trace it. So now we are very fortunate that we have come to this part of purifying the mind. It's very rare to come to this path. You will not know how much fortune you have gotten until when you leave it. And don't taste it also, you cannot even know. You know, somebody who is holding a bottle of honey and he's just admiring it. Ah, this honey is nice. Oh. Ah, this honey is nice. Oh. And he has not tasted it. Oh. This honey is nice. Oh. And you always say it's nice. Before you know, you drop it. How will you know how nice is the honey? Somebody who will cherish is the person who will. So this guy has something like this and he's just admiring. He's still away from you, he will carry it away. I'm going to enjoy it. So the same thing also. This Krishna consciousness, when you hear the philosophy, you know, you feel attracted, you admire it, you say, wow, it's wonderful. But if you don't practice it, you don't taste it, you don't know how much fortune you have. The Krishna consciousness is the topmost in the whole universe. So this is what we are teaching, that this our mind can be our great friend and can be our worst enemy. The mind is the eyes in which we see this world. So for us to see properly, we have to purify our mind. Just like if your glass is dirty, you cannot see properly. So you have to clean, you have to purify the mind. Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Read the scripture. Every day you should do this. Then you can see what you have. Then you can see Krishna standing here before you. Now you will not be able to see anything. When you come, you just see some images and you start wondering in your mind, what is this one that is standing there? And what is this one? Your mind will just be seeing some images. You will not know. Because why? You don't have the eyes to see. You don't have the eyes to see. Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra with Krishna. Of Krishna. So he wants Krishna to show him his universal form. Krishna told him, Arjuna, with this your eyes, you cannot see me. With this your eyes, oh yeah, take this eye. Bah. Are you getting me? So the same thing also. You cannot see Krishna. He is seeing us. We cannot
see him.
Atashi Krishna Namahadi. Nambhave Grahyam Indriya. Sebo Muke Ijiwado. So I have a verse for Atiyada. This is the verse Prabhupada quoted in this verse we are reading. Atashi Krishna Namahadi. With our blunt senses, we cannot see Krishna. With our contaminated mind, we cannot see God. God told Moses. Eh? What did he tell Moses? In the back. He said, can only see?
You cannot behold my form, but let me show you my back.
Are you getting my point? Why you cannot behold his form? Because you have not attained the purity. It's very simple. And that is the only man in the Bible that mentioned that he saw something about God. And maybe some other. Eh?
Yeah. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God.
You see, Moses even did not reach the promised land. I get my point. Although he was relating with God, but still he did not reach the promised land because he was not completely
pure.
Are you getting the point? So the path we are following is the path that people be able to see God because of their level of purity. Of purity. This Hare Krishna mantra we are chanting, you cannot imagine the great benefit. Golokera Primadan Harinama Sankirtan. This Hare Krishna mantra is directly from the spiritual world. It's a direct call to Krishna. You chant this Hare Krishna mantra with sincerity, with love, very quickly you come close to Krishna. If you chant this Hare Krishna mantra, you know one of the symptoms of one who have chanted this Hare Krishna mantra in pure consciousness. Immediately you chant Hare Krishna, tears will be coming out from your eyes. You start feeling separation from God. Now, oh my God, I've left it for so long. Now I want to come back. You will be feeling such separation from Him. If you chant this Hare Krishna mantra with purity, it will bring you so close to God. That is the potency of this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. It will remove all the sins in your heart that is blocking you from coming close to Him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we are very unfortunate that because we are not taking it very serious. Some people still think that, oh, I don't need to chant Hare Krishna now. Let me do other things. Misfortune. Having the greatest jewel, like a baby. If you give diamond to a baby, and you go and bring biscuits, and say, give me, take. What will happen? He doesn't know the value of diamond. He will give you. Because why? He knows the values of it. He can easily put down inside mouth. You understand? So that is the same situation we are in. We still want mundane things, material things, this. And although they are there, no problem. There's no doubt about it. But you should know what you have. And if you don't know what you have, you may lose it. If you don't know the value of what you have, you may lose it. It's a very great fortune to come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Brahmanda Pramite Kuna Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Bhakti Lata Bijapich. So it's mentioned that Brahmanda Pramite Kuna, we have been wandering from this planet to that planet, from this universe to that universe. We have been taking birth as an animal, as trees, as birds, as human beings. We have been going up and down in this universe. And only one who is fortunate, Guru Krishna Prasade, only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, double mercy, can one come in contact with a Krishna consciousness. This part now will lead you directly to get the seed of bhakti. It's very rare to see the seed of bhakti in this world. It's very rare. See, it's not like when people say, oh, I'm considering my religion to be the best. No. See, let us be realistic and practical. Let us put it on the table and analyze it. I get my point. It's like this. Let us look into this religion of this world. Although the religion, all religion in the world, they have some element of bhakti. Are you getting my point? When I mean element of bhakti, it's element of devotion to God. Are you getting my point? Bhakti means devotion to God. Devotion. Devotional service. All religions have the element of bhakti. Let us analyze everything. But majority of the religion have more of Kama Mishra Bhakti. Kama Mishra Bhakti means devotion to God mixed with fruitive activities. Are you getting my point? Devotion to God means with fruitive activities. Means what? I'm serving God so that I can get this. I'm serving God so that He can do this for me. So most religions are mixed with Kama Mishra Bhakti. And there is another one also. There is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Jnana Mishra Bhakti means devotion to God mixed with mental speculation. There is other part also. The Mayavadis are very good at this. The impersonalists, they're very good at this. Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But There's what we call Vishuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti. Anayaya Bhakti. Means devotion without any tinge of material contamination. There's no tinge of material contamination. Yes. Pure devotion to God. You are only there to please God. You are only there to serve Him. You are only there to do what is pleasing to Him. That is pure devotion. No Gyana Mishra, no Karma Mishra. Pure devotion. Take that point. So let us analyze all the religion in this world. Which religion is on this platform? We can say from our mind. What platform which religion are? I get my point. But in the part of devotional service, right from day one, we don't deceive you, my brother and sister. If you devotion to God, here it is. If money, no problem. If Krishna is pleased, maybe he can give you. If you want fame, whatever you want, if Krishna is pleased with you, maybe he can give you. But if you want pure devotion to God, this is it. I'm alive. Prabhupada used that word. All alloy. In chemistry, we have alloy metals and all alloy metals. Are you getting my point? So, all alloy devotion to God. Alloy. No mixture of any other contamination. So, this is a platform you can get from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other scriptures. I was reading the story of the Bible, the Israelites and all the, you know, I was reading. So I was analyzing, I was looking very deeply, closely. I was analyzing the children of Israelites, their closeness to God. You see that every time, they always defer from God, and God will bring them back. If you always study, you see, their level is, they always go away from God, then God will bring them back. What kind of level is that? Get my point? Just see the level of devotion. Somehow they will deviate, it will bring them back. I get my point. So then when you look on the other side of devotion to God, you look on the we have the Pandavas, you have the Gopis. There was one day in Dwarka. So Krishna is always thinking about the Gopis, Gopis. Gopis are the topmost devotee of Krishna. When you talk in this world, Gopis, they are the topmost. Devotee of God, they have grades. They are great of devotees. Like I mentioned, Karma Mishra, Gyana Mishra, these are the low. Then when you come to the high platform, then you start dividing the pure devotee also. Those who are unalloyed devotees, they see upgrades also. There are different levels. So you now come to those people who are completely know anything for their own pleasure, like the Gopis. One day, Narada Muni, he said, who are your best devotee in this world? Who are your best devotee in this world? Say, Narada Muni said, Krishna told Narada Muni, you want to know? He said, yes. Who? He said, go and test all my devotees. Go and test them. Tell them that I'm having headache and I need the sand from their feet to put on my head. That's what will heal my headache. So now the morning now, as a transcendental spaceman, he went to came to the material world. He went to the Brahmanas, those who are very versed in the scriptures. They know everything about God, everything. So he told them, God is having headache. Please, can you give me sand from your feet? He said, hey, what is this man saying? Stand from my feet, put on the head of God. You don't know who is God? No. Like this, he was going to different people. Hearing this word God and hearing what is demanding from them, it's like, how can this guy be saying this? It's like they cannot connect it. Then he went to the Gopis. After going around everybody, the Yadavas, the Pandavas, everybody. So he went to the Gopis. You see, Krishna has headache and he wants the sand from your feet. That's what he hit in his headache. He said, is it true? He said, yes. Okay, They took shovel. Huh? They started packing the sand. Then Naramoni was like surprised. Then you don't know what you are doing. You will go to hell if Krishna put the dust of your feet in his head. You will go to hell. We will go to hell. Let us go to hell as so far and die there. As long as the Krishna headache is
gone.
You see, love for God is uncomparable in this world. They can do anything to die for
Krishna.
I get that point. Jesus said he was on that level also. I get that point. When he was crucified, although he was feeling the pain from what he was saying, but because it's for God, he has to
tolerate it.
Even when he saw the thing coming, when he saw it, he was complaining to God.
Yes.
God, you cannot remove this thing. I get that point. But because he's a soul surrender to God, he has to embrace it.
Let that will be done.
I get that point. If it were to be you gopis, they would not even complain. That's why we're talking about the different level in the high realm of pure devotion. I get my point. So there is different devotional service. So for us to see God, it has to be pure, unalloyed devotion to Him. At that time, our material mind is dissolved. There's nothing like material mind again. It's completely gone. Material intelligence, pure. Because sometimes we want to surrender, then our material intelligence comes into
action.
You understand? You say, why should you do this? It's not good. You don't know. This is Indian religion. How must you? Yeah? You start giving so many
instances.
Are you getting my point? That is the nature of the intelligence. So these are the things that come into play. So, but when you end up pure and all devotion to God, all these things is gone. So he said, Atashi Krishna Maradi, Nabava Graham Indriya. We cannot realize the transcendental nature, form, quality of Krishna by our blunt mind and senses. Okay, Hijiwado. This service begins from. We can only realize God from the service. And this service begins from the tongue. From our tongue. And this tongue is, how do you start this service? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you take Krishna Prasadam. You chant Hare Krishna mantra and you take Krishna Prasadam. Even in your house, you must have a water. Before you eat, you offer your food to Krishna. You offer your food to Krishna. I remember when we were still in primary school. I remember those days. I went to Jodu Grammar School. And when we were in primary school, we used to sing some. Some are food and they can't eat. Some can't eat and have no food. We are food but we can't eat. Glory. You understand? We sing God, songs of God like this. It's like offering the food. You understand? And appreciating that He has given us. So in our house also, we should do this. When we cook, before we eat, you take it to your altar that you have arranged. The picture of Krishna is there with all the spiritual masters. You offer your food. Krishna, please, take this food. Offer it. Bless it. Take it. Eat it. If you want. Krishna eats if you offer him with devotion. He will eat your food. If you offer him with devotion, there are so many instances. So when you see deity here and we offer our food, don't think that we just carry the food and no. Don't put it there and take it. No. Krishna eats. He eats the devotion of the devotee. Your devotion. He doesn't eat physical food. Whatever you are doing, there's motive behind it. So when you are offering, he eats the devotion, and if the devotion is so much in that food, he will eat the food physically. There's a story in Jagannath Puri. There's one, when I was in India, there's one temple called Aranath.
Ananat. If you go to that temple today, you see the picture of Goran Itai. The two lords raising their hand up, one on this side, Goran Itai, Lord Goranga Mahaprabhu. There's a place in Ananat. The Lord, when he was in ecstasy of Krishna, he lied down on a stone and the stone melt. Out of ecstasy, he lied down on a stone and the stone melt. When you go there today, you will still see his form on that stone. And there is a deity inside that place, inside that on the altar there. The deity is burnt. This is due to eating hot food offered by his devotee. There was a story of a brahmana. So the brahmana, he is teaching his child how to offer food every day. He is worshipping the deity, and he is teaching all his child also how to worship the deity. So one day he has to go out to do other duties. So he told the mother, please, today let Govinda Das, let him offer the food. He said, okay. So they prepared the food, they gave to Govinda. Govinda, please offer the food before your daddy will come. Okay, ma, Hare Krishna, ma. He took the food inside the altar. He's a small boy, young boy, around 5-7 years. He took the boy inside, the food inside the altar. Young boy, he watching what his father was doing. No? So he took the food inside the altar. So as he put the food there, ringing the bell, grand, 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 offering the prayer, saying all the prayers. Sometimes you may think that 7 years old boy, a child is too small. No, sometimes they are very sharp. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you see Prabhupada, next to him is Bhaktisiddhanta. At age of 5 years, he already memorized and can recite the whole Bhagavad Gita. At the age of 5 years, he can recite the whole Bhagavad Gita. So this boy was offering this prayer. He was offering the food to the Lord. So as he was offering the food, he opened his eyes. Now the food is still there. He looked at the deity. He said, my Lord, you will not eat. You have to eat too. My father said, I should offer to you. You have to eat. It's okay. Get in. You offer the prayer. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shanyabhari Paswati. Please eat. He opened his eyes. My Lord, you will not eat this food. My father will beat me if you come back home. If you don't eat this food, if you don't eat, I'm going to kill you. You have to eat today. Then he started the prayer again with seriousness, devotion. He was suffering with devotion. And my Lord, please, you must eat because you are eating my father's own every day. And the Lord refused to eat. Then he went out and brought cane. He said, you will eat today. Today you must eat. And before you knew, the Lord finished the whole food and leave the plate. The boy was very happy. He carried the empty plate to the kitchen. Mother, mommy, where is the prasada? Where is the prasada now? He said, the Lord has eaten now. What? The Lord has eaten. You need more boy, right? Where is the prasada? You have finished everything. You said the Lord has eaten. Where is the prasada? Your daddy will come now. There is no food. Where is the prasada? He said, my mother, the Lord has eaten everything. I love everything. You, this small boy, eh? Is this what your father is teaching you? You become a spoiled child. Where is the food? Let your father come today. You will see. The boy started crying. The Lord has eaten, no? He didn't know how to convince his mother, no? So the father came. He reported the matter. He said, today your boy has shown a very nasty behavior. He took the food into the altar and he finished everything. And he came here and said, the Lord has eaten everything. So the father said, okay, no problem. He cannot say, let's see. Go and cook again. So the woman cooked again everything. He gave the boy. He said, now go and offer. Let me see the Lord eat. Mm-hmm. I gave my boy. So he took the food inside the altar again. The boy was reading the bell. Grin, offering the prayer with devotion again. My Lord, please eat now. If you don't eat, my father will beat me. He was praying. So he was not eating. Because that the father was hiding behind the curtain and he was watching. He wanted to see the Lord eating. So the Lord didn't eat. So he was praying. The Lord had told the boy, see your daddy. I will not eat. See, he's looking at me. Then he went down and told his father, see, my Lord, father, did not say he will not eat because you are looking at him. You have to go out. You know it. Are you getting my point? See, was even maybe the boy is still praying trick. You see devotion. Even a small boy can have devotion to God. You cannot say. Devotion is your attitude, your consciousness. It's inside. It's not external. It's not about what you know. It's about how you relate with the Lord. So the father went out thinking that I will suddenly open the curtain and see what this boy is doing. So as he went outside, the boy was praying. As the Lord started eating the food is a little bit hot. As the Lord was trying to eat the food like this, the father just opened the curtain to enter. And the deity dropped it. He dropped the food. So the food burned the Lord in his finger here. He burned him. So if you go there today, you see this. You see this scar on his finger. Are you getting my point? So just to show to in the remembrance of this first time, he has let that head. The Lord will relate with us. He eats our food, we offer. Devotion we offer to him. He takes everything. It's based on how you see him. If you see him as wood, as metals, he will remain like that for you. If you see him as the Supreme Lord, he will relate with you like that. It's very simple. There's another story of Govindas Pandit. He's one of the intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house. You see the Lord wearing yellow up there. It's the same person on the altar also. He came to the house of Govindas Pandit. So he was staying in the house of Govindas Pandit for many months. So he was so attached to the Lord that he would not allow the Lord to leave. So the Lord said, I have to go. I have so many other duties to do. Please allow me to go. So the Lord said, okay, I cannot stay here because I have so many other things to do. So go to Mayapur. There's one lim tree. Bring the lim tree, let a sculptor carve my form and put it on your altar. Then you have me with you here. I have to go. See, they brought that wood, carved the form of, that was the first form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carved when he was on the planet. If you go to Mayapur, you will see this, you know. But here they don't open the curtain down like this. They always close the curtain because they think that the Lord may run away from the altar. They don't open it down. So they carve this image. They carve it. So when they finish carving it, put it down. So the Lord said, now you have me with you in my form. He said, no, I still want you. Then the image became living and started moving. Then the form of the Lord became still and stopped there. Then when they want to grab this one become like living and start moving. Then that one becomes still. So like this, it was switching. So the Lord was showing that it's not different from his. So according to our devotion, the Lord revealed himself to us. Because why? If you look into this universe, everything in this universe is from the body of the Lord. There's nothing different from him. He can decide to appear anywhere. When you see different forms of the Lord, he has incarnated form. And he connected in this world. You see all these different forms. The tortoise, the fish, the this. These are all different forms of the Lord to show his pastimes. Many people, they become bewildered when they hear about this pastime, these stories. Is to show that the Lord, he can appear in any form. That is why he is God. He is supreme controller. He has no restriction. That is why he is God. If there is anything he cannot do, then he is not God. If there is anything he cannot do, he is not God. God means he can do anything. He can do and undo. That is God. He can appear from the pillar if he likes. It can appear from. Sometimes people used to say, "We manna form from heaven." For the children of Israel, why manna not falling from heaven? So why it cannot fall today? It's because of our lack of faith. We don't have faith in Him. They say, manna cannot fall from heaven. Manna, if you have faith in God, He can make manna to fall. Some people they will say, money will fall from heaven. If God wants money to fall from heaven, He can fall. That's why he's God. People don't understand the word God. They put it inside small of their brain. They put the name God inside their small brain. And they try to understand it. not to remove him from your brain. Try to understand me from the scripture. God don't work as your by your brain. As by your analysis, it can be like this, it cannot be like this. God doesn't work like that. He's completely beyond us. That is why he's God. If you understand what the word God is, my God, you will faint. Those who understand it, they fainted. You will faint. Then you will see him. The day you understand it, you will see him. He will appear before you. And that is why Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 10:7. What does it say? You can read 10:7. What Bhagavad Gita there? We should be coming with our Bhagavad Gita. She always have our Bhagavad Gita with us. If you don't have one, buy from the store. This is our Bible. So 10:7, Krishna said, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this, there is no
doubt.
One who is what? Who is factually convinced of what? Of this opulence and mystic power of mind. What are the mystic power of Krishna? His creation. See how so much mystic. Yeah? If you put one mango in the ground, what happened? You get trees of man. You get three. And you get many mangoes on the tree. If you put a small rice on the ground, you get. See the mystic power of God. Sometimes we're not saying it's mystic power. We think somebody has to come and put his hand on your head, yeah, and you will be healed, man. You will get electric shock. Then you fall down. That is the mystic power. You are not seeing around you the mystic power of God. If the sun, that sun you are seeing up there, if that sun move 1 inch closer to earth, the earth will burn to ashes. And if you move 1 inch further, the earth will be freeze. The sun has to be in a perfect orbit for the earth to continue. That is the mystic power of God. That is the mystic power of God. Sometimes we don't understand all these things. So Krishna is saying here, if you understand all this about me, my brother, you will serve me without any doubt in your mind. You will serve me without any doubt in your mind. Of this there is no doubt. So if we are not serving God with all our heart, with all our mind, it's because we have not realized his personality. We don't know who God is. That is just the fact. It's a gradual process. It begins from purifying our
mind.
Purifying our mind. Rome is not built one day. It's a gradual process, and it has to be gradual and steady. Not just today I chant, tomorrow I sleep, then the after tomorrow I chant, after the other one it should not be like that. It must be a steady process. Every day, what you do every day is very powerful. You don't know the day you stop doing it. If you can develop the habit of doing it every day, you chant every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You try to concentrate while you are chanting. Try to listen to each of the alphabet of the Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You try to meditate and listen to this alphabet. You do it every day. My brother, you are not the same again. No. If you don't know, you better know now. Because this name of God, you don't know how powerful it is until when you do it regularly. See, it's like this. Can give in Hare Krishna, we don't give a testimony, but I can give testimony. We don't call people, oh yeah, but what has Krishna done for you? Yeah, come and tell people. Then you come out, hey, Krishna, we don't do that. But I will just try to speak from my own realization. I give my point. There is nothing in this world I've ever desired in my life I don't get. I get my point. There is nothing in this world I ever desired that.
If I don't want it, I don't desire it. Don't want it.
I don't desire it.
Because if I desire it, I'm sure it will come to pass. I'm sure it will
come to pass.
The power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra as part of your life. If I say I want to be in America by the next month, I will be there. I don't want to go to America. If I want to be in Brazil tomorrow, I will be there. You want me to show you the music power now? You want me to show you the music power?
You ready?
I gotta bring my passport. Let me show you the visa. I get my point. So we don't know what we are giving. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the names of God, everything is there. Nam Nama Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. The Lord say, I've invested all my energy in this, my name. This name fulfills all desires. There is nothing that is higher than this we can give to people. But, my brothers and sisters, I cannot teach you how to understand this, what is there in that chanting of Hare Krishna. I cannot put myself in your place to make you to understand what is there. I can only try to, you know, inspire you or try to tell you some of the glories. I get my point. So what we are saying is that take this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very seriously. At your place, give time every day, like you eat every day. Every day, when you wake up in the morning, Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna. When you wake up in the morning, you should take it as a must that every day you chant your Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The beginners, you can start with four rounds. Four rounds, if your mind is so spaced out, four rounds can take you 1 hour to chant. If your mind is so spaced out. When I say spaced out means when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you think of all the things you want to do in the world. All the things you want to do will come to your mind at that time. Hare Krishna, okay, I have to call Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All the things will be running to your mind. Then sometimes when the mind has nothing to think about, Hare Krishna, it's going off. So when your mind is spaced out like that, it may take you 10 minutes, 15 minutes to chant one round, which is too bad. Normally, if you're working with your mind properly, one round should take you 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. How long does it take you?
10 minutes.
Okay, it's good. You are trying.
I tried 7 minutes.
Oh, it's good. You are trying. It's very good. At least, most important thing is that when you are chanting, try to listen to the word, to the name. Because what happens is that when you try to be too fast, you miss out some of the words. Like some people, they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You will not know, but you are missing. You are thinking, you are, see, the mind is very trickish. Our mind. If you can see how your mind is working, my God, you'll be amazed. You would think that there's some devotee here. That one time we were doing some experiment. So we used to chant every morning together. So we were chanting together every morning. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. There's one devotee, he always miss one of the two mantras. He used to miss every time. But he's thinking his chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram, Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram. So we put the tape recorder, we recorded it. So we were giving evening class like this. And we were explaining how people miss the rams. And he said, hey, is it true? So we brought the tape and we are playing. He said, who is chanting? He's the one chanting, you know. He cannot even understand that he's the one missing the rams. So that is the trick of the mind. So, but if you are able to learn every day as part of your habit, you wake up, you take your bath, and you chant this mantra, you will never be the same again. I promise you this. I'm telling you. If you can make it as a steady duty in your life, steady thing you do every morning, there is no miracle that can work more than this in your life. You will receive the highest miracle in the world if you can take it as a regular routine to do. I'm telling you the truth. That is the highest miracle you can get in your life. Not putting hand in your head and you are getting electric shock. There's one place when we are going to Ghana. There's a place called Place Bonke in Togo. It's a place foreign prophet, Christian. His name is Bonke something. When he came to Togo there, so they made a big announcement and many people came and he made so many miracles. He did many miracles, but after he left, all those people he did miracles to, they went back to their normal way. So from that time, they banned him from coming to from Togo. I get now, they banned him from coming to Togo there. That was what the people told me. I get my point. So, see, getting healing or you don't have money, put money in your pocket, or all this is not the miracle of life. But to realize who you are and where you are coming from, what is the purpose of your life in this world? That is the most miraculous thing you can get in your life. Because once you know the purpose of life, my brother, your life will change automatically. You become self. And from that day on, you always tread the right path. Money is not the problem. Many people thinking the money is the problem, like we were explaining in the beginning. Money is not the problem. You might have all the money in this world and you are not happy. You are not peaceful. It can only aggravate your ego, your sinful proclivities. That is only what money can do. Are you getting my point? So, but the thing that is there is that if you really want to understand who you are, this mantra can uncover that for you. Say something. Hare Krishna. Please. So now it's question and answer period. So if you have any question, comments, yes, please. Mr. Prince, how are you?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful lecture. Let me sound like the lawyers, it is quite in parallel. I want to take an example from what you gave about the sponge.
Yes.
Soaking soap.
Yes.
That is how the human nature is when negative energies come.
Yes.
And the person absorbs, does nothing with it, and it remains, and the person is heavy.
Yes.
And another analogy you gave is about the crystal,
yes,
the pyramid. When these negative energies comes, it goes through and forms the rainbow-like color, which means you'll be able to transform it into a positive energy.
Yes.
You have even given an example that chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will help in solving most of these reactions.
Yes.
But please, I would love to understand in details, in comprehensive details,
yes,
if there is another method by which one can burn off these negative energies and negative reactions,
yes,
and at the same time transform the negative energies into a positive one.
So yeah, it's a very nice one. The thing that is here is that there's a one shloka. He said, Chintamani Takara Sadmashu Kalpavrita Laksha Abhiteshu Surabhiya Bipalayantam Lakshmi Sahatrata Sabrahma Sevya Manam Govinda Madhi Purushan. And he mentioned also, he said, Krishna Nam Chintamani. Krishna Nam is Chintamani. I get that point. So, like we are saying, we want, apart from the chanting of the only name, what other method we can use to burn out our negativities? Chanting of the only name of Krishna is number one. You cannot compare anything to it if you can really take it serious. But other process is like this also. You cannot. This Bhagavad Gita is directly coming out from the mouth of Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita is not different from
Krishna.
It's not different from Krishna. I get my point. every day. You don't need to read the translation and the purport. You can just recite the verses of Bhagavad Gita. I will read the glories of Bhagavad Gita to me. This is one of the things also you can read to burn out all this negative energy. Let me just quickly in the beginning, in the introduction, if you have your own Bhagavad Gita, you can open to the introduction very close, very towards the end of the introduction you can read, where he explained the potency of reading Bhagavad Gita. I will just read very quickly here. Conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastram Idam Puryam Yapatate Payatam Puryam. If one properly follows the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, one can be free from all miseries and anxieties of life. Bayam Shukadi Vrajita. One will be free from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. I get my point. Then he says, if one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reaction of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Are you seeing how you can burn out all your negative energy by reading Bhagavad Gita? This other one. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely, with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, by the grace
of the Lord,
the reaction of his past misdeeds, which are the what is bringing out all these negative energies, negativities, the reaction of his past misdeeds will not act upon him.
His karma.
His karma will not act upon him. I get that point. So that is it. And many, many like that. Let me read another one. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water. But if one takes bath in even once in the sacred Ganges of water, Bhagavad Gita, for him the death of material life is altogether vanquished. So there's many, if you go to an introduction towards the end, you can read many more about that. So that is one. That is reading the scriptures. Chanting the holy name is one. Reading the scripture is another one.
Plenty.
Another one is Trina Api Suni Chena Taro Api Sai Suna Amanena Manadena Kitanya Sadari. One should be very humble than a
blade of grass.
More tolerant than a
tree.
Devoid of all sense of prestige. And should be ready to offer all respect to others. And should not be respect. I get my point. Just for an example now, you offend me and I come. I give you. Wah! And after slapping you, you say, thank you very much, Prabhu. Prabhu is very powerful. Immediately, instantly, there, you will feel the exchange of energy. You try it.
That is it. It's not easy.
That is it.
It's not.
What is it? You see it on the face.
You understand?
Before an acting of not reacting.
Are you getting my point? It's not easy. But the scripture says in Mahabharat, you see, if somebody does that to you and you don't react, you know what happened? All the good quality of that person
come to you.
All your negative energy
come back to that person.
There will be a change of reaction immediately, instantly. You will feel it. If you can tolerate it and do it with your heart, you will feel it. I've tried it before, so that's what I'm saying from experience. Somebody just came like this where there was some argument. He just gave me wow. Me will be saying my hand. If I give you, you will be shake. I come home myself. I say, Krishna.
Martial artist for that.
You understand? I say, Krishna. I feel like, I must not do this. I get it. Babu, immediately you feel the reaction. You feel something going out, something coming in. You feel it. You feel very light immediately. I'm telling you the truth. It's a very practical process. I don't know. So if you can be very humble, very tolerant, you can burn out so many of your
negative
activities. Although it's not very easy, but that's why we are telling you the practical one that will give you that stamina inside, you know,
internal stamina.
Mm. By chanting, by reading, then we give you internal stamina that when that comes, because until you come to that level, you cannot completely be free from the negativity of your life.
Mm.
You cannot transform them now unless you come to that plateau.
Yes.
So it's a process, and that is why we are encouraging people, we should start now. You see, don't be in this kind of consciousness like other people. They will say, he can do like that too because he's a pure devotee. Me, I cannot do it too. If you continue to be on this platform, this kind of consciousness, when do we come to the... I get my point. So because whatever we are hearing, we should practice. Another one, a practical one that you can do. When they are taking prasada, go and carry bucket and serve. Are you getting my point? Immediately you start serving, you will see so many temptations. Hey, baby now! People will be shouting from you from left and right. Why you don't like baby now? Hey. If you can tolerate all those things and still please them, you will feel the energy coming out from your body. I'm telling you, this is a practical process. You see, if the way immediately they are chatting at you, give me now, let me now, one go chop out, they will be using all kind of abusive word for you. And you can just, you know, accept all those energy and bring out the crystal-like nature without reacting. You will feel the energy going inside, coming out. You will feel it. It's a flow of energy. I get that point. So when they're having prasada now, you just take that humble position, you carry the bucket and try to serve. You will see the temptation immediately, instantly. This one will be say, I won't go to exam room to face exam. You will feel the examination immediately. You will see the temptation. Somebody will come out even sometimes, they will say the word that will make you to feel very, you know, angry. And that is why you see some people when they are serving, they are very, very angry. Their eyes is very red. They know come close to them, they will punch you. Because they are receiving all this energy and they are absorbing like a sponge. They are absorbing the negative energy. So they are becoming very heavy. They cannot do anything with it. The second level, people, is that as the energy is coming, they cannot hold it like the sponge.
Yes.
So what happens? They are reflecting even. Sometimes they become very angry at the people who they are serving. Hey, what is wrong with you now? Sit down now, I will serve you. You see? But there's another way of doing that. If you want to reflect the energy like a crystal, the way they are chatting and you are receiving those energy, you say, Prabhu Hare Krishna, please sit down, please. I will serve you, please. You know? What are you doing? You are receiving the energy and you are
transforming it.
You are transforming it. Immediately, it will calm the atmosphere, and you feel the energy flowing, coming inside, coming through. And the people you are serving, they can feel it also with you. And you'll be peaceful and happy, and they'll be happy also. And you feel the full benefit of the service you are doing. You feel the purification. See, I'm talking about the practical purification now. If you come to temple now and we engage in different service, you can feel more and more of this also. Are you getting my point? Maybe you are in the kitchen, you are cooking for Krishna, you feel so many temptation also. I don't know about maybe you are sweeping, or maybe you are being engaged in outside work for Krishna also. So many temptation will come on your mind. So as you are passing all those things, you can see your consciousness being elevated. Or when you are outside also relating with people outside here, you will feel this temptation every day also. So if we don't chant, if we don't read, we don't get this internal, you know, stamina to be able to do what? To reflect out all this energy. It's not easy. Yes, brother.
Yes, my question is this. I would like that you explain further about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Yes.
And you said something about taking one up to about 4 hours to do a round.
Yeah.
Now that round is what I don't understand.
Okay, thank you very much. I will show you. When we say one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we miss going around full like this, going from here to this end,
That is one full round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Oh,
this is 108.
That is one
round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You go like that, like that. That is for one. Then you go to the two. You chant the full mantra on one beat. So when you go, you count it for 108 times. That is 108. We don't touch it with this our finger. Are you hearing me? We don't touch it with this our finger because this finger is accusative finger. You see this finger? It's a accusative finger. It's always pointing to people that they are the cause of our
problem.
You are the cause of my problem. You are the cause of my problem. You are the cause of my problem. So the finger is always pointing that people are the cause of our
problem.
But this other one is saying, no,
you are the worst.
It's these people. It's not these people.
You
are the cause. You are the cause. You are the cause.
Are
you on my point? So that's why we don't put this finger.
How many rounds?
Minimum. Like a devotee who is aspiring for initiation, minimum you must chant 16 rounds. 16. And this 16 rounds will take you 2 hours. Just sit down, you don't do anything, it will take you 2 hours. If you are very fast, it will take you 1 hour 30 minutes. Early morning. Early morning is the best.
When you are fresh.
Early morning is the best. Any other time in the day, there's so many distractions.
Yes.
Any morning, when you wake up around 4 or 5 o'clock, you sit down and you chant. If you can do it, it's not very easy alone. Because immediately you sit alone, your mind will travel all over the universe. Your mind will travel all over your universe. You'll be remembering this, remembering that. That is the nature of, you see, the nature of the mind is it doesn't want to be at the present. It doesn't want to be at the present. The mind is always being at the past and in the future. That is the nature of the mind. So that is what is called conditioned life. Conditioned life means you're only thinking about the past and you're only thinking about the
future.
Dream of the future. You don't want to be at the present. But if you are able to control your mind to always be at the present with you, that is what we call liberation. You have control over your mind. And that your mind will not take you astray. It will not destroy you. I get that point. But as long as your mind is not with you, it's very dangerous.
Okay, now it doesn't matter if you are chanting faster or slower, as long as the words are correct.
Yes. If you can chant, but you cannot chant 16 rounds in 1 hour. There will be so many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I get that point. You're like someone wants to chant. There's what they call machine gun chanting. People chant like this. I'm telling you the truth. People chant like this. We have had people chanting like this. And in their mind, they are chanting, you know. I'm telling you the truth. If you touch them, Prabhu, what are you chanting? Who are you? You this small bhakta. You this neophyte devotee. You know, we cannot see ourselves. I can have it. People can see you better.
Yes.
So most of the time also, we don't hear ourselves also. People hear you better. Good. I get that point. But the most important thing is that when we are chanting, we should try. In the beginning, it's good to be slow. I get that. So when you practice, you become. Yes, like when you want to, it's just like when you want to learn how to ride bicycle, and you want to run in the beginning. You should be ready to break your hand. Are you getting my point? Don't run in the beginning. Or you want to learn how to drive a car. You start pressing accelerator. My brother.
You don't
you don't do that. In the beginning, slow and steady.
When do you race?
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Try to call all the names, the name completely, correctly, in the beginning.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Don't worry, you just continue like that. When the time comes, you become fast naturally. The people who are not calling the name completely, and they are doing it for years and years and years, is the people who are trying to run in the beginning. And they will continue to make the mistake for years. I remember when I was in India. So when Parikrama is going to the holy places with all the different devotees from the different parts of the world. America, Australia, Russia, whatever, China. So we're together like this. So I used to stay very close to the Russian devotees. So I wake up very 2 o'clock. I woke up. So I was chanting. I used to chant very early. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So one of the Russian devotees came and he put tape recorder at my back. You know, he put tape recorder at my back. So I was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So after chanting for some time, he came to me and said, Hare Krishna, please listen to your chanting. So he played it for me. I was hearing myself, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Missing some word. But in my mind, I was thinking I'm chanting correctly. So, but because he's bringing the tape in my face, I cannot say.
No, it's not me.
And it's very painful. When people bring out your fault, it's very, very painful to you. So, but if you can tolerate the thing and adjust, it will help you a lot. So, in the beginning, we should not try to
be fast.
Don't go fast. Slow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And one thing about this chanting is that it's a sleeping medicine. If you are having difficulty to sleep, it will give you. You understand? Because immediately you start chanting, your mind will come at peace. This will show that the thing is working actually. There was one big businessman. He has very difficulty in sleeping. So he has been taking so many yoga, so many pills, so many this. He cannot sleep. Very difficult for him. So they asked him to go to Hare Krishna temple. So he came to the Hare Krishna temple. One of the Maharajis was giving lecture. Immediately he sat in the lecture. He slept off. Started snoring. He slept off. So the body was trying to wake him. The Maharaj said, no, leave him, leave him. He was peacefully sleeping in that lecture. After the lecture, he went to the Maharaj. He said, Maharaj, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Why? Why is he thanking him?
Because
I get my point. So that is it. So this thing is very powerful that, you see, our mind is our main problem in this world. Our mind. So if you are able to control the mind, to purify the mind, my brother and sister, the world is in your grip. I get my point. You can do and undo, but we have to control our mind first. We chant and purify our heart, our mind. Then you will see the Lord very close to you. Then whatever you want is nothing. But our problem is that we want everything, but we don't want to do anything. Then people chant Hare Krishna, they will not want to chant. They want Krishna to give them money. How will the money come if you don't chant? Hare Krishna can give you money, yes. But we are not prophesizing that. We are not saying that. Are you getting my point? Because the ultimate goal of this chanting is to give you pure love for
God.
It will definitely give you pure love for God. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. But all those getting money, getting this, they're secondary. They will be pushing you. Money will be pushing you. How can I serve you? Please, how can I serve you? Fame will be chasing after you. Please, how can I serve you? Are you getting my point? Mm-hmm. So, you see, Chris Oyakinome, his money is problem now. Because he's a man of but that's what we are seeing him to be, no, is it not?
Yes, of course.
Is it not true?
Yes.
Yes.
That is what we hear.
Are you getting my point? Oh yeah, therefore. Oh yeah, Mr. Pastor Oyedepo.
All like winners.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Money is there. Money is there what?
servant.
I get that point. Yeah. But the thing that is here is that you may get all these things and don't get love of God. I get that point. You may get money, get fame, get all these things, and you don't get love for
God.
But you should try. Love for God is the ultimate. Every other thing will come. But even though they don't come, if you get love of God, my brother, you are. Because God is the owner of the universe. He's the owner of everything. You don't understand the word God? Ha! He's the owner of everything. Even this money that people are spending, he's the owner.
That's right.
If you understand the word God, you will faint. Yes. The last.
I don't want you to see this question as him taking us apart.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, I'm here to.
Is there a difference between chanting in your mind and chanting outward?
Okay. Yeah. Very good. That's a very nice question. We are not taking us back. We are seeing in the path. So the thing that is here is that there are three ways of chanting. You can chant in your mind. You can chant to your hearing, and you can chant very loud for others to hear you. So, like Aridas Thakur used to chant 300,000 holy names. 300,000 holy names means 192 rounds. 192 rounds.
Every day.
Every day without fail. Aridas Thakur. That is why he is the acharya of chanting the holy name of God. He is the acharya, he is the teacher in our parts. When you say chanting of the name of Krishna, Aridas Thakur is there. He's chanting 300,000 holy name every day. The holy names every day. 192 rounds. Without fail. And that is why one day, how does he chant? Let me answer that one before I go to this next story. He chanted 100,000 inside, 100,000 to his hearing, and then 100,000 very loud. That is how he's chanting. And they are different, it's different of different level. Like when you are chanting to your mind, it's for your mind, for the purification of your mind only, for yourself only. For the beginner, it's very difficult to chant inside the mind. To chant inside the mind is not very easy for the beginner in the beginning stage. Because chanting inside your mind is like try to control a bull, a mad bull, or a mad elephant. You understand what I mean? It's not easy. So the same thing also, chanting inside your mind in the beginning stage is not very easy. Before you know, you'll be planning your business and planning your days and planning everything. You'll forget chanting. I get my point. So that is why it's recommended that we chant and hear in the beginning. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At least you chant and you hear what you are chanting. It's very helpful to the mind. But whenever the mind wants to go to somewhere else, then you bring it back. So Aridas Thakur was chanting like this, and one day, one minister became very envious of Aridas Thakur. And he sent a prostitute. He went to a hotel and he looked for the best prostitute. And he sent to Aridas Thakur. Aridas Thakur did not run away. I get my point. He sat down. He was waiting. So when the prostitute came in, you know what it means when you are going for a battle? You must be fully calm. You understand? So she put perfume that there. When she stand here from the at the gate, you'll be perceiving it.
This
I don't know the name. I don't know the name. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
And the uncle bell. That one is not to talk about. You make chan-chan-chan, you know? Very nice. And that is that will be capturing your mind. She dress in a very, you know, yes, very sensuous way. Are you getting my point? So when she got there, Aridas Thakur was chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So the difference between a prostitute, there's some prostitutes who are religious also. So in India, most of them are religious. So when she got to Haridas Thakur, she paid obeisances to Tosi. Not Haridas. She paid obeisances to the Tosi there. That's plants. Worship. So she paid obeisances to Tosi. So she now showing a different posture. You know, sit like this, sit like that. You know, in front of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was calmly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama,
Rama.
So when he opened his eyes, he paid obeisances. He said, Haridas, oh Haridas, please accept my offer of obeisances. I've come here to satisfy your desire. And for you, just tell me. Can you imagine? A woman, very beautiful, with all those dresses, come to you and say, yeah, yeah, you are chanting Hare Krishna. I come here for you. You will throw your bead here. I'm just like, for who have not reached spiritual level. You understand? This is what will happen. There's no doubt about it. Immediately you see any dedication like this, chanting, wait for us. I hear my point. So, but Haridas Thakur was very calm, composed. He said, oh my dear lady, I will satisfy your desire. You just please sit down here. Let me finish my rounds. If I finish my rounds according to my spiritual vows, I will satisfy you. It didn't make her angry. Just sit down. So she sat down and sit in a very, you know, understand? And Haridas was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So Haridas Thakur chanted the whole night till the sun rising. No, sun was rising. So when the prostitute already, she slept up there. So when she woke up, she saw that the sun was rising. He said, oh Haridas, why? Oh, we say, oh, I'm so sorry, I have not finished my rounds today. Come tonight and we fulfill your desire. So like this, for 3 consecutive days, this prostitute was coming. So at the third day, she came and sat down. Before you knew, what happened?
She
started chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Before you know, just chanting the association of Haridas Thakur, she started shedding tears, rolling on the ground. Started paying obeisances to Haridas Thakur. Please forgive me. They have sent me here. By Ramachandra Khan. Ramachandra Khan was the minister. Say, he has sent me to come and bring you down. So just to defame you. Please forgive me. And this, that. He was begging. So Haridas Thakur said, no problem. I knew. I personally, you know, stay here to deliver you. Now that you have been delivered, sit down here and do the chanting. And from that day on, the prostitute took the chanting very seriously, and she became a saint that even they worship today, even in India. I get my point. So that is the potency of the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So it can be chanted in 3 ways. In your mind, you hear it and very loud. You can chant very loud. But for us, for the neophytes who are coming up in spiritual practice, we should chant so that we can hear. So when you are alone, it's very difficult to chant in your mind. Before you know, your mind will take over. And before you know, instead of you to be chanting, you go and carry a remote or television. You want to go and watch television. Or you want to go and do something else. Because the mind has conquered you now. To go and do something else. So that is the nature of the mind. So when you are alone, try to chant so that you can hear. And weekends, if you have time, you come like Saturday, you come in the evening, come and stay with the devotee. In the morning, you chant with the devotees. You see how they chant. You can practice also, and that will help you also. Like that. So it's not, it's like that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So any comments here, probably want to say something?
I was saying that the Tunisian national.
Tina Pinus, Tunisian.
Yeah, but if one slapped someone to turn the other side. It's in the Bible. That law of Moses and the law of they make the business in the way that if one slap you, our spiritual mother said, if one slap you, give her the next job to slap. If that person slap back, then that person is not a human. That person slap you, but cannot be not a human. Because if person slap you, if you slap somebody turn around to you. In fact, you know, even though no matter how to hot temper you are, you will feel retaliated back again. Because you know, say you feel morose and you feel begging. So sometimes the actual essence of giving the next joy is in terms of peace and terms of making problems become removed. But if one does not take it in that way and slap back, then because that person who slap back maybe an area boy at Aguru, that we can slap somebody but that's what I want to call.
Thank you very much. So Babu, like what Babu is saying, so if I slap you then like this, bah, and you turn the second one, I slap you. The same means I'm not a human being. So that's what he's saying. I get my point. So means that if you slap somebody one time and you turn the second one, you should feel sober and remorse, just like he said. And not be able to stop. But that does not mean if he slap you and you turn the second one, you slap him. You should not react. Because like now, like what Pablo said, no, maybe I slap you now. I thought the second one, thinking that I will not slap, and I slap. Then you say you will not come and slap me. Because I'm thinking, why did you slap me the second time? You understand? So because now you're thinking, you should know that I'm a holy man. Yeah. You have slapped one, why do you slap the second one? So you just take your own. So it should not be like that. Yes.
You mentioned about the mind.
Yes.
That how affect us.
Yes.
Now I want you to throw, what is the difference between the soul and the super soul? Are they doing the same this
yes ring? Thank you very much. The soul, which is the living entity, and the super soul, they're in this in the heart. They are in the heart. In the scripture it mentioned that they are like two birds on a tree. The soul is the living entity who is trying to enjoy the fruits of his activities. And the super soul is here, is acting as a witness, as a permitter, as a guider. Again, the super soul is here. He will not interfere in your activity, but he's witnessing all your activity. So that, like now, you are taking birth in this life now. Whatever you have done in your past life, you'll be getting the reaction. So this person there is witnessing. So we make sure that everything you have done, you get the reaction. That is the two person is there. So the soul is considered to be like your soul is only limited to your body. So your soul is limited to your body because you can feel the consciousness of the soul all over, only on your body. But the super soul is a super consciousness. The super soul in my heart is the same as the super soul in his heart, is the same as the super soul in his heart, is the same as the super soul in her. Why our soul is an individual? I get the point. So, Krishna is considered to be the super consciousness. Just like we feel consciousness within our body, the consciousness of Krishna is within his creation. And that is why anything you are destroying, you are just like if I pinch you, you feel the pain. So everything in the Krishna creation, wastage, destroying, like all this digging of oil and all this digging of gold, they are disturbing the nature, disturbing God, because he's the consciousness of the whole universe. He's the super consciousness. He's conscious of every of his creation. Again, that is the difference between the super soul and the. And the soul. The soul is individual, while the super soul is the super consciousness of the whole universe. Yes. Any other thing? Yeah, I wanted to say something. Last one.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. We studied about Dhyana Yoga today, which is meditation, yoga meditation. But, so I don't know, this may be another lecture. Why I was going through the scriptures, yes. I came across Bhakti Yoga.
Yes.
Thank Krishna for one of the devotees he explained, but I still want a more clearer picture to what Bhakti Yoga is.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'll just say it in a very nutshell so that by 4 o'clock we finish. So Bhakti Yoga means, Bhakti means devotion. Yoga is a general word in Sanskrit. Yoga means huge. And you find it common with all this meditation, yoga, whatever, Asanga yoga, Dhyana yoga, Bhakti yoga. It's common to all this. Yoga means, it comes from the word huge. In Sanskrit, every word has its root. That's one thing about Sanskrit. Every word has its root. Like, have the word Gachati. Gachati means to go. Gambri. Gambri is the root word from Gachati, means to go. And this Gachati, we can use it in any word, but the root word is Gambri. The same thing also with yoga. Yoga, the root word of yoga, the root word is huge, which means to connect, to link to the higher consciousness or divinity. So it's common to all this yoga system. So Bhakti Yoga means, Bhakti means devotion. So to connect with God, with devotion. That is Bhakti Yoga. And in the part of Bhakti Yoga, we have 9 processes. You have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Achanam, Vandanam, Sakyan, Padasevana, Atma Nivedana. We have 9 processes of Bhakti Yoga, which means hearing, chanting, remembering the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord,
worshiping,
serving His lotus feet, becoming His friend, offering everything to Him. These are the 9 processes of Bhakti Yoga. So, other time we can discuss more details about Bhakti Yoga. It's a whole class on its own. Hare Krishna. Sabhopadi ke. Samaveda bhakta vinda ke. Nitai gopra kriminandi. All glory to Asamara.
Hare Krishna. Vishalikara pura prabhu ki.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, now the next I'd like to get some of this record for me so that I can improve my